and of the Medes and the Persians at times, and there are characters a little bit like Darius, full of themselves, happy to have people worship them. 2,500 years ago, there was a Darius, King Darius, that liked people to worship him. 2,500 years later, there's somebody of the same name who felt exactly the same. I wonder if you know who I'm referring to. Perhaps if you like those reality TV shows, you might cast your mind back to one of the first. Then we know what I'm talking about. Pop stars, pop idols, remember those days? Do you remember this guy? Watch this.
This is from Darius, get the spiel, it's going to be something.
Okay. Loneliness is killing me.
And that's exactly what he was like, even when he wasn't on TV, which is just bizarre, isn't it? 2,500 years later, there's a Darius, very similar character to the one you find in the Bible. There he is, seen on Pop Stars. He did remarkably well, didn't he, considering how talented he wasn't? But there you go. And here you have a Darius who, well, you look back in history, and here are the names you wanted people to call him. Darius the Great. I mean, that's bold, isn't it? To call yourself Darius the Great. He also wanted people to call him the King of Kings. That's what he wanted. And here in our chapter, he was quite happy, wasn't he, when they came up with a law for everybody to not worship any other god, but to worship him as a god. I mean, that is some ego. That is an enormous ego. And it's bizarre, isn't it? Because we get these stories that we've had, Daniel and his diet, we've had the dreams of chapter 2, we've had the fiery furnace, and now we have the lion's den. And it seems like Daniel's being battered all the way through it. And we forget that this spans almost 70 years of history, these stories. Daniel's an old man. He's seriously old now. Nebuchadnezzar, who we followed in the early first four chapters, he's gone. He was replaced in chapter 5 by Belshazzar, or Belshazzar, or we'll just call him Shazzar. Shazzar wasn't very good. He didn't last very long. And Daza, he arrives, and he wipes out Belshazzar and the whole of the Babylonians. So this incredible empire that has taken Jerusalem, taken all the people into exile, has now been dispatched with. The great Babylonian empire that spanned the known world has been destroyed. End of chapter 5, Darius comes. He is the ruler of the Medes and the Persians. And the funny thing is, you kind of see Nezah, Shazzar, and Daza all have a very similar trait, don't they? They are full of themselves. And they have no regard for the one who is in charge, the one who is the King of Kings, God himself. So Nezah's gone, the Babylonians have gone, Shazzar's gone, Darius is in charge. And, you know, Daniel, he's continuing in exactly the same way as he always continues. And here's the thing, even when it feels like he's not, God is always in control. Now, hear that loud and clear. That is the main theme of the whole of this book. That even when it feels like he's not, God is always in control. The old situations you're going through, how you're viewing the world today. Even when it feels like he's not, God is always, always in control. Daniel continues to serve in the same way that he did in chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. He knew that as they went into exile, Jeremiah 29, God had prophesied to the people to serve the nations that they were being taken into exile with all their heart, soul, and mind. And that's what he does. And so it's no surprise, is it, in chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, that Daniel distinguished himself, verse 3. Among the administrators and the satraps, don't really know what a satrap is, it's kind of like a wise person who oversees a particular region of the government. By his exceptional qualities, that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar sees Daniel, Daniel lives wholeheartedly, gets put in a place of power. Shazza comes, he's awful, doesn't last long. Darius comes, completely new nation, and yet puts Daniel, or plans to put Daniel, in charge of the whole kingdom. That's the situation we find ourselves in. And guess what? The other rulers, the Medes and the Persians, they do not like him. He's a foreigner. He worships a foreign god. And you're putting this guy in charge of the whole kingdom. He had served excellently, it says in verse 4, doesn't it? He served excellently. He was trustworthy. He was neither corrupt nor negligent. Now that is a way to live in an alien world, isn't it? 1 Peter tells us that we are foreigners in the world. We are exiles. We are people of another home, of another land, a land that is yet to come. And here, in that foreign land, Darius is king and Daniel serves excellently. He's trustworthy, he's not corrupt, he is not negligent, and he lifts himself up in the eyes of Darius by the way that he leads and he behaves. But it provokes a reaction. So we see the plan of God. God's got a plan. He says they'll be in exile for 70 years. He says the Babylonians would not last and they'd be wiped out, prophesied years before. He tells who it's going to be that wipes them out, the Medes and the Persians. God has a plan. He's in control. And yet for us, we see it in a snapshot in 6 chapters. This is years and decades lived out by Daniel. What about you? I'd definitely be tempted to lose heart, wouldn't you? I mean, you've got the amazing moments of the fire. You've got the amazing moments of the dreams, but decades pass over these chapters. Decades. Here's a guy still trusting, still faithfully serving in a foreign land that has been wiped out by another foreign army. Jerusalem is in tatters. There is no remnant really. And yet, Daniel trusts God. These guys, they don't like him. They hate him. And look, they're cunning. They're not just going to batter him. They're not going to outright persecute him in front of the others. Here's their tactic. Did you see it? Let's use his law against him. Let's try and get him to do something that he does not and cannot do in following his God and make it illegal so that it causes him to face the consequence legally in our land. It's a clever tactic. It's one that's been used multiple times over generations to trap Christians, to persecute Christians, to kill Christians. So they take the law of the Medes and the Persians, knowing that an edict by the king cannot be revoked, and they play to his ego, don't they? Do you see what they said? May King Darius live forever. I mean, that's just absurd, isn't it? He's a bloke. I mean, he must have known he was aging. And yet, he listens, and his pride is tickled. May King Darius live forever. Let's see what we can get him to do. Your Majesty, get people to worship you for the next 30 days. No other gods but you. Or throw them into the lion's den. And he must have been thrilled because he signs it, and it cannot be altered because it's an edict of the king. Very clever. Here's Daniel serving God wholeheartedly in a foreign land, as he has been told to do, for years and years, decades and decades. And they hate him, but rather than expose him and try and take him on, let's change the game. Let's use the law against him. Let's cause him to do something that he either has to reject his God or disobey the king. More and more in our society, we're finding ourselves in these kind of situations. More and more as Christians in the world today, situations like this are coming up. It will not be long before talking openly about the God of the Bible will be illegal. It just will be. It's the trajectory of our culture. It's the trajectory of our continent. I work a lot with professional sports people, and some of the professional rugby guys that I work with at the moment have to sign things on their contract and what they can and can't say on social media. The majority of it is to stop them talking about their Christian faith since Israel Folau, who is an Australian rugby player, who spoke of his faith on social media about a particular topic. It didn't go down particularly well. Yes, he was probably naive in the way he described it, but since then, all professional rugby players in the UK are bound by contract on what they can and can't say. It's extraordinary, isn't it? How do you get to a place where a rugby player who runs around with a plastic piece of ball and oval shape is controlled of what they can say to other people? Bizarre, isn't it? Where does this come from? Where does a culture come from that starts to live like this? Well, do you know what? It's not a foreign concept. It's been going on for thousands of years, and here we see it right in front of us. The law of the Medes and Persians is invoked, and Daniel's in trouble, isn't he? Imagine you there, there. What do you do? 30 days, not that long, is it? Nobody's really going to know. I'm just not. You know, I worship God in private my own home. Yes, I have the windows open and the doors open, but nobody's going to know if I don't do it. I mean, there's no church anymore. There's no church in what is Iran at the present time. There's no temple. I'm not going to be missed if I don't go. Oh, it doesn't really matter. I'll just stop praying. I'll stop worshiping God for 30 days. God doesn't mind. He's bigger than that, isn't he? Surely he wants me to live and not be thrown into the lion den rather than 30 days of worship to him. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to worship the king. It doesn't mean I have to worship God, does it? Can you imagine that temptation? Can you imagine the compromise that's so easy to take in that moment? And yet, God, he does. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, that's just so that we know that he wasn't doing this naively. He wasn't doing this without knowing. When he learned, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. That's what the exiles did, because that's what they were told to do, to pray to God in this way. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed. Now notice he's not hiding. He's not changing his behavior, because it says next, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. The law is placed on him. He is given a choice, and Daniel chooses. Even when it feels like he's not, God is always in control. Daniel has been faithful to his God throughout this time, and here, again, he is faithful. He does not compromise. He doesn't give up, and he doesn't give in. He is fully faithful. Now these fellas, they hear about it and they don't like it. They knew exactly what they were doing, didn't they? They knew, because of Daniel's consistency of character, what he was going to do. That he wouldn't deny the Lord. So that's why they made the law. So, happy days for them. They go and speak to the king. You know you did this. You know you made this decree. We know you like Daniel, but you made it, you signed it, you sealed it, and he's done it. That's what they say, don't they? Look at what he's done. He should be thrown into the lion's den. I mean, it's barbaric, isn't it, from our point of view. Somebody being thrown into a lion's den. Now, these aren't kind of just the Whipsnade Zoo kind of lions that are fed on a regular basis. They are left for this purpose. They are starved for this reason. They are kept for the king as a form of execution. Horrendous form of entertainment and execution. King answers, the decree stands, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. He's gutted, isn't he? He's been caught out by these fellas. He's signed the agreement, and now he's got to punish Daniel, who has been exemplary in the way he has behaved and served. But we get to see God's power. God's people are faithful. Daniel is faithful to him. And in his faithfulness, he is not left. God's power is revealed. The king appeals to him, says, may God who you serve continually rescue you. And Daniel trusts God. Perhaps like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in chapter 2, where they say, look, even God doesn't save me when he goes to the furnace, I'm still not going to abandon him. Remember, Daniel doesn't know the outcome of this story. He doesn't know what's going to happen. It's only 30 days of not worshipping God. Surely being eaten by a lion, that's a hard choice to make, isn't it? I mean, we have very, very easy decisions to make compared to that one. Whether to compromise our faith so as to fit in with culture or not. And how easy is it to do that? How easy is it to not stand up, not to speak out, not to say who we are when we face perhaps at best a legal case? Here he faces hungry lions. But what does he do? He trusts in God's way. He trusts that even when it doesn't feel like it, God is always in control. King, he kind of gets it in verse 20, doesn't he? He understands, he sees, and Daniel is in the lion's den the whole night with hungry lions. I mean, it's not even daylight. I mean, you can't stand there and kind of play dodgeball, can you, with the lions? It's dark. You can't see them coming. Must have been terrifying. And yet, look what he says. Daza calls out to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you? Has he been able to? Darius doesn't know about God, does he? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. You see, not only does he trust in God's way as he lives, but he trusts in God's power. And God's power is mighty. He is blameless before him, and God shuts the mouths of lions. The lion walked in through that door now. It'd be survival of the fittest. Who can get out the door the quickest, wouldn't it? Yeah, Maria is sitting pretty. She knows she can get out that door quicker than the most of the lion can. She's closer to the door, so she'd probably be okay. Now, I'd definitely be a soft target standing here. And the temptation would be to run, because we know what lions are like, hungry ones. They are more powerful than a human being without a gun. No guns in those days, no guns in the den with Daniel. But God is more powerful than nature. He made lions. They may be king of the animals, but he's king of kings. He just sends an angel and shuts the mouths of lions. Lions do not intimidate the God of the universe. He made them. Daniel trusts in God's way, he trusts in God's power, and he trusts in God's justice. Look at what God does. As the stone is lifted, as Daniel is released, the king, overjoyed, chucked those who falsely accused Daniel to the dead. And without a moment's hesitation, it's all over. These lions are hungry. They weren't just satiated lions in a den, but their mouths were shut by the king of kings. You see, Darius realizes that he's not the king of kings, but there is a king of kings. Look at what he says towards the end. He writes to all peoples, in every language, in all the earth. Just one little sentence. King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. So awestruck was he in this moment that every person on the planet in the known world at the time had to know about it. And it said this, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Why? Well, look what he says about it. He is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end. Here's a man who has changed his focus, isn't he? As he's seen the power of God at work. The people of God bravely trusting in the power of God radically changes not just the heart of Daza, but a message that goes to all people. Here's a God who is alive. Here's a God whose kingdom will last forever. Here's a God who rescues and saves. Do you recognise that God? Alive, a lasting kingdom, who rescues and saves. The Old Testament is a wonderful foretaste of what is to come. God has not changed. That is exactly what he is like. And in chapter 7 onwards, which we're not going into because we're changing into Hebrews after Jubilee. But in chapter 7 to 12, the end of this book, you see prophecy after prophecy, which is similar to the ones that we saw in the dream in chapter 3, which point forward to God's king, who will be king forever in a kingdom that doesn't end, and who will rescue and will save. Just as God does here. We know his name. It's Jesus. He is the King of Kings, the one who rescues and saves, whose dominion, whose kingdom lasts today. He is the same God who can be trusted by people who follow him faithfully. And the question for us is, what does that look like for us today? You see, we must trust Daniel, like Daniel did, God's purpose and plan. Everything went wrong for Daniel. They're kicked out of Jerusalem. Their homes are lost. They're taken as slaves to a foreign country, forced to live in foreign customs. Time and time again throughout decades, they are battered for being God's people. To the point where their lives are at stake time and time again, and God comes through. God says in Jeremiah that they're going to be in exile for 70 years. And they trust God's plan. They didn't know what happens next, remember? But look at the last verse. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daza to Cyrus. The next king, Cyrus, is the king that releases the Jews. Is the king that sets the Jews free at the end of the exile, just as Jeremiah had prophesied decades before. See, God's plan comes through, always. Because even when it doesn't feel like it, God is always in control. Daniel, even though the situations he faced felt awful, even though it felt hopeless, even though he could not see what was to come, he trusted faithfully and didn't waver. Because he knew God is always in control. What that looks like for you today? What are situations that you're facing where the opportunity to compromise is there, the justification for it is simple, the laws around you are closing in, perhaps even the people around you are putting you in a situation that is perhaps untenable as a Christian? Well, the culture around you is so attractive that actually, do you know what? To become like them rather than like you made me to be, surely that's okay. God understands. He sees me. The message of Daniel chapter 6 is to keep trusting God, keep following his ways, keep living his ways, even when it feels like he's not there, because he is. And he rescues and he saves. His kingdom will come and his kingdom will last forever. And his son has come. And Jesus has fulfilled all that God promises in the rest of this book. He has fulfilled the rescue of God's people. Not from the Medes and Persians, but the punishment of sin. From the judgment that is to come. from the horrendousness of hell so that we can be with him forever. It's amazing, isn't it, God's purpose and plan? We are such a tiny part of it. We live for a moment, for a breath, and yet he knows you. He knew you before he formed you. He has a plan for the whole of human history. He has been working out that plan since the beginning of time. His son came just at the right time to rescue you. And his son will come just at the right time to bring an end to this life and the beginning of the kingdom, his dominion, forever. We can trust him. Daniel is there to encourage us to trust him. Because even when it doesn't feel like it, God is always in control. So we are to serve wholeheartedly, with distinction, those around us. We are to live as people whose home is not here. And we are to not compromise him, whatever the cost. Hard, isn't it? Well, it is if we're on our own. But what we have that Daniel didn't is that Jesus didn't leave us on our own. He said, one will come after me who will empower my people. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is here with us. He is amongst us. He empowers us and he goes before us. Our role is to rely on him and trust in him. In those moments where the justification is ringing in your ears of how to compromise and how to get away with it, God, help us, the hopeless, please help me. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can give me the strength to follow you right now. When those around us seem to be enclosing in from all angles and they seem to have us trapped like the laws of the Medes and the Persians, throw yourself on him. Trust in him. It may not mean that he takes you out of the situation, but he'll take you with him all the way to glory. It is so worth it following the King of Kings and living for the King of Kings. And yet, the devil is out to get us. Whether it's through people in persecution like this, whether it's through temptation that will deceive and draw us away, whether it is in the world and the culture around us, the battle around us is real. The temptations are there, but we're not alone. God is with us. So whatever lion's den you may face, think of Daniel. Not of his heroics, but of his God. His God who is powerful, and is powerful for you too. Let's pray. Father, thank you that even when it feels like you're not here, you are. Even when it feels like you're not in control, you are. Thank you, Lord, that you know way more about our lives and the lives of those around us here in this room than I ever could. You know the situations that we face. You know the temptations. You know the compromises that we have made. Father, we thank you that you are a God who rescues and saves. Thank you that whilst we were still sinners, you died for us. Thank you that you love us so much, that you rescue us from the dominion of sin and Satan and this world to a kingdom that is more glorious than we can imagine. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you see right through our lives and our situations. And you're not intimidated or scared. You are all powerful. Powerful enough to shut all the mouths of lions. So, Father, help us. Convict us, show us, guide us what it means to live for you faithfully, like Daniel did. To do just as we did before. Whatever happens, whatever changes, to do just as we did before, to stand for you and with you. Father, it's hard to know what will happen this week. It's hard to know what will happen in the next few years, and we've kind of learned that over the last few years. And yet, Lord, the solid rock we stand on is the God who made it all, the God of history who is in complete control. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you today as Daniel trusted you then. In Jesus' name, amen.